First of all, I must say I'm very, very grateful to the faculty of the FEBC and also for all the brothers who have supported us in many ways so that today we are here. Today I am here to speak, which is a very great honor for me, and also to graduate. I am very, very grateful that the Lord has made this way possible so that we can come. Today it has been 35 years since I came to FEBC in 1984, and we have come together all along until now, and I am very grateful that the Lord has guided us in this way. Now, the message, no retirement in God's service. I think we have just had a very good example with Reverend Dr. Kwa. He has not retired. He was my classmate also in FEBC. And we are very grateful that we can share together until now. Let us read the text from Luke, Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. We read together. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Shall be profited. If he gain the whole world and lose himself, will be a castaway. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his followers. This passage is commonly titled The Cost of Discipleship. In other words, the requirement that Christ gives here gives us the cost of being a disciple of Christ. A person who has been called to full-time Christian ministry, according to our teacher, Reverend Timothy Toh, is born again twice, so that the process of the first natural birth plus being born again twice become three. Now, the calling to disciples and the calling to service inclusive. The Lord Jesus Christ implied all callings in the text. The transformation that comes after each call is the same. The commitment to the calling has no limit, but it has to take a worthy course. Now, let us look at the factors that the Lord stated in the text. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. The immediate audiences that Christ was speaking to included the 12 apostles. Notable names that are mentioned often in the Gospels is Peter, James, and John. To follow Christ is to do what he did, to believe what he taught, and to teach others as he commanded. Follow means to go after, to ride up, to ride or move in the same direction. Soldiers follow their captain and do as they are commanded. The disciples knew what Jesus meant by that remark when he said, follow me. There is a difference, for example, between Peter, Apostle Peter, and Judas Iscariot. When they went with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter was intending to defend Jesus, while Judas Iscariot was intending to betray him for gain. Peter's intention was to be with Christ and to defend him. The other apostles were obeying what Christ told them. Although Peter later yielded to temptation out of fear for his life, he was quick to repent. His heart was set towards obeying Christ. And in his subsequent ministry, as recorded in the book of Acts, his testimony and his heart's desire was that he wanted to follow Christ all the way. He was one of those who heard Christ saying these words, and he never retired in the ministry until the Lord called him. He lived and died a martyr's death because he was determined to follow Christ all the way. Now, self-denial is necessary. Jesus says, "Take up thy cross daily and follow me." The burden of past sins or earthly desire will not prevent a true disciple from following Christ. Paul puts it in clear understanding when he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, when he said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted but loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but loss that I may win Christ." He concluded in verse 14, saying, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That remark, or that mark, is what he calls the crown of righteousness in his farewell to Timothy. He is a good example when it comes to self-denial in order to follow Christ. But as for us, the world around us is the opposite. The people of the world go after wealth and fame. But all that ends here on earth. John added his voice when he said, "We should not love the world," in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. The health and wealth gospel that is preached today also follow the same line. There must be self-denial if we are to please Christ. Paul did not have a place that he called home because he obeyed Christ and denied himself. And we are very familiar with his testimony from his epistles, from the book of Acts. Now, taking the cross daily is a burden we must bear in following Christ. This is a figure of speech to say that one must endure the sufferings that comes with discipleship. Christ was crucified on a literal cross. Crucifixion was the most painful method of capital punishment. The victim was made to die slowly under great pain. And in case of Christ, the cross was added a crown of thorns. Before crucifixion, the offender was made to carry the cross to one place of crucifixion. The torture he had to undergo was unbearable. The disciples of Christ understood what he meant when he said they must take the cross daily and follow him. The word "daily" in this text, which is absent in other parallel passages in the two other Gospels, emphasizes the fact that following Christ is a lifetime activity. It does not say when you are to stop. Say, "Follow Christ daily," meaning to say, we follow Christ as long as we live. Anyone who has been called, as the 12 apostles were called, is to serve Christ as long as he lives. Retirement for ministers of the gospel, which is common in many churches today, came after the pattern of labor regulations that govern employees in secular sector. But the command of Christ means that they need to serve as long as they live. Physical ability may dictate how much one can do, but this is not usually what determines, usually determined by age. I know of one man, we have had the example of Reverend Kwa, but these are the men I know, he's 100 years old, he still drives a car, and goes to office every working day. So meaning to say that as long as the Lord gives you strength, you can do many things. You can act in the best way. Now, we could cite many other examples. Our principal, Reverend Timothy Thoreau, did not believe in retirement. And I believe he did not retire until the Lord took him home. He was principal and pastor all that time. And we learn so much from him. So the facts before us tells us that there's no retirement. We cannot come to a point whereby we say today we can stop. As for me now, and all my schoolmates, those who are my age, are all retired in secular service. So I'm supposed to have retired by now. But I trust that the Lord will give you many years to be able to serve him. However, in condition like this again, FEBC comes out as a very good example in preparing for the future, because you cannot simply say we cannot retire, no planning for the future. So we are very grateful. Even this past week, we have had Daily Vacation Bible College at FEBC. And I know that Dr. Koo invited young pastors to come and preach. So this is a way of making them to take over afterwards when it is not possible to continue. And we are very grateful, and we are going to pray that the Lord will continually raise many more young men and women who are able to take up the leadership role in the church, in the Bible college, and wherever the Lord calls to service, so that we'll always continue. I was trying to look for how come that the gospel came to where I live. And I found a book written by a missionary. And I found that the first batch of missionaries that came, there were 8. In 3 years, that was in 1895. In 3 years, 3 of them died of malaria in those days. 2 resigned. And then others went back to other duties. So one was left. One missionary was left after 3 years only. They were 8 at the beginning. In 3 years, there was 1. And then he also resigned from that mission and went back to America. They came from America. But later on, he started another mission society and came to Kenya again. So that is how he came to where I come from. And my pastor was converted under his ministry. Now, when he came as an independent missionary. And he served until the Lord told him, you have to go, because he was already very weak. So he was able to hand over the work to another mission society to continue. Now, these kind of realities and preparations that are necessary will tell us that while we are serving, we cannot say, I am 65 years, I cannot continue serving. You continue to serve as long as the Lord gives you the ability. And that is the implication that is given to us in the text. Now, following in the steps of Christ means that one has to do God's will in matters pertaining to salvation. Believe in him and everlasting life. Speaking the truth is also following Christ. The truth cannot be detracted, even at the pain of death. The ultimate reward in following the steps of Christ is blessed hope, which is eternal life. These worthy causes cannot be exchanged for anything. The command of Christ requires consistency. Which I hope and believe that even our graduating class today, myself included, fully understand the depth of commitment to serve Christ. We desire to do so. Now, Christ gave a prescription. He says, you lose your life in order to gain. The approach in obeying Christ is that if you wish to save your life, you lose it. If you wish to lose your life, you are going to save it. This situation that Christ described later became a predicament for the 12 when Jesus was arrested. The state of the others was informed by fear, that is the apostles. In Mark chapter 14, verse 50, it tells us that they forsook him and fled. That is the disciples forsook him and fled when he was arrested. They wanted to save their lives, but they failed to be disciples of Christ. They forgot that the Lord had told them they were to overcome. Sorry. The Lord had told them and were overcome by fear. Their initial impulse was to save their lives. If they did not repent, they were going to lose their lives, because they had to flee because of fear. Now, Jesus says, whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And he illustrated this with the use of seeds in John chapter 12, verse 24. A seed must die in order to produce more. I come from a place where many people are subsistence farmers. And when it is planting season, they look for seeds to plant. So maybe if he will plant a point of an acre in seed about this much of grain, then they are going to harvest maybe 10 times this when it comes to that time. But then the seed that were planted is death. They disappear, but the new one come up and produce more. That is what Jesus used to illustrate. The initial fear is what every disciple of Christ must overcome. They should obey Christ. The Lord again posed a rhetorical question. He said, for what is a man's advantage if he'll gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? In verse 25. These are familiar words. And I was here yesterday, and I know that this sanctuary is known as John Sung Memorial Chapel. We learn many things about John Sung from Reverend To. And these are the same words that he read in Matthew parallel passage 16, verse 26. And the Lord used these words to speak to him, to John Sung. And with that, he gave up his profession as a scientist and became a preacher of the gospel. This is narrated in Reverend To's book, John Sung, My Teacher, page 66 and 67, how he became a preacher, and the testimony. These words did not only speak to John, they have also spoken to many that have come to the Lord. And they are speaking to you today also. That if we gain the whole world and lose our own souls, what advantage do we have? And the answer is there for you. Finally, in verse 26, Jesus says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come to his glory and in the Father's and the holy angels." Shame. One should never be ashamed of the words of Christ. If we were ashamed of the words of Christ, we would not be Christians today. Because there are many challenges, there are many things that people say about being a Christian, especially when you live in a community where there are many unbelievers. So Paul himself gave a testimony in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek." And also elsewhere he also mentioned about this situation whereby many were ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but he said, he affirmed more than once, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And we also must be able to say, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. To become a pastor in my place where I come from also, sometimes, you know, you feel, or there is temptation to feel that I'm out of place here. So after I left FEBC in 1987, and then I became a pastor, one Sunday I was walking to church, and an old friend of my father met me on the way. He had not seen me for a long time, so he asked me, "Hey, you went to a foreign country to study. What do you do now?" Then I told him, "I am a pastor." "You don't do anything else?" "Yes, I'm a pastor." And he was very angry and said, "If your father didn't have anything, you should not be here today." And then he went away. The same thing also, he was brave enough to tell me, but there are others also who will say, because one young man told me, "My grandmother told me, don't go to Bible college." "Why? You go and ride a bicycle as a pastor. You should be driving a car." So those are some of the things that, you know, you come across. But once you have made a decision and follow this path, Jesus make a promise. In that question, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because the day of crowning will come when we shall count all things, as Paul said, but loss for the sake of Christ. He will come with his glory, with the glory of his Father and the glory of his angels. In other words, the reward of heaven will be very great. I'm very sure. Recently, when the Lord took home Dr. To, we were able to watch in the internet the service here. And the consolation that we had was that he has gone to heaven. And all of us look forward to that also. But when we go, when our loved ones are mourning for us, then we should be in a very happy place, as the Lord promised, that he is going to come in the glory of his Father. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, there is a window of heaven also given there, which shows what happiness in heaven was like, or is like, and what suffering in hell is also like. And we must have this choice. And remember, this is not just a parable. It is a reality which we must all come and endure. Those who are ashamed of Christ will be rejected. However, those who remain faithful have the assurance of a crown of righteousness. The testimony of Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. He said, "I, John, who also I am your brother, a companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom, and in the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." What we know about Apostle John is that he was the last of the apostles to die. And this testimony was written in his late years when he wrote the book of Revelation. And we saw that he was still very strong when he said this. And not only at that time, but even today, because he was not ashamed of Christ, he served him all his life. He never retired. And he is today a pillar in God's revelation, because he is the one who closed the Old New Testament and say, "Do not add or diminish from the words of God." As we come to the end of our message, at the commencement of this message, the commitment to follow Christ is specified as very important. There is need for that commitment. And as I said, those of you who are called to serve the Lord full time, you are born again twice. And you must remember that. There must be a form of transformation that comes to your life so that you are able to serve faithfully. The command to take the cross daily did not say when it should stop. The implication is that it will stop when life stops. So we all believe that, and factors that are around us will tell us this. In my life, I have three pastors that have helped me to make a decision and a stand that I have. And one being Reverend Timothy Toh, another one was my pastor. He told me that if you are fearful, the Lord will not use you. And he was a testimony in that kind of thing. He was brave enough. And then the other one was the principal of a Bible College of East Africa, where I started my theological training in the 70s. And he told us, "Young men, let no one tell you that God never answers prayer. God always answers prayer." And he made me to understand that when I go to a point whereby only God can help me, I'll say, "Praise the Lord, because I have hope in him." And that is what we are able to do. As the employments are governed by labor laws and other considerations, so that the employees will retire at a given age. However, God's service, as shown in the text, requires our attention as long as we live. We cannot retire. There is no retirement in God's service. And even though we may have certain regulations in our church constitutions to say that a pastor of this type can retire at such an age, but I don't think anyone will tell you not to continue serving the Lord. I remember there was a leader of another church that I know. The church said that he was going to retire, but he started his new role as a missionary. He went out to another place to become a missionary while he was supposed to have retired, but he continued. And the Lord has blessed him. Now he's too old to do anything, but nevertheless, he never stopped serving the Lord. We can never stop serving the Lord. We will continue to do so. I mentioned when I began that it has been 35 years since I came to FEBC. And that is supposed to be about the average time that an adult will walk. But I think the Lord is going to give me another 35 years also to be able to serve or more. So may the Lord bless us. I do not know if I'm going to come back to FEBC or to Singapore another time. But nevertheless, like Paul was telling the different churches, if I am not with you, may I hear that you continue faithful in the faith. And may we do so. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you again this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a responsibility that is so great beyond our ability. Nevertheless, when you are with us, we have all ability to do all things. Father, we pray that you may be with us and help us, that this message that we affirm, that we can never retire in thy service, Lord, we may also be good examples, as our other brothers have become examples. Father, help us and guide us and strengthen us, and grant, Lord, that we may know that all the days of our life we have to bear the cross daily. Father, help us and be a blessing and direct our ways in everything, that we may serve thee faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.